I want to talk about self-leadership today. Everybody say self-leadership. You know, it's the most important type of leadership is how you lead yourself, because if you don't lead yourself correctly, you're not going to lead others correctly. Let me just bring out some things that I know you've read this because it was in our daily Bible reading this past week. So you'll be very familiar with these scriptures, right? This is a powerful scripture. It's in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. It says, whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. So the picture here is of a city that's basically been sieged because there are no walls. You know, back in biblical times, of course, every city, it had walls. It had the gates of the city. That's what protected the city. And what the Bible's telling us here is if we don't rule over our own spirits, if we don't provide ourselves with the right type of self-leadership, man, our walls are going to be broken down and we're going to be subject to attacks and devastation. And one of the most crucial things that we can do as leaders in the kingdom of God, or one of the most important things, and I talk about this in Awakening, you know, is guarding that fire of devotion. Where we are, you know, devoted to God, we're guarding that fire and we're leading ourselves well. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in just a second. But flip with me over to 3 John, we read that a couple of days ago, and I want to tie this scripture, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, I want to tie this scripture, do y'all know where that is? It's right before Jude. It's right before Jesus coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and obey the gospel of his. I didn't get to that script. There's some powerful hell scriptures in Jude. Third John 2, it's only got one chapter, verse 2. It says, beloved, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Okay, so the Bible's talking about here that if our soul prospers, basically everything else will be healthy. Everything else we could say would be guarded. So if you think about that from not only the context of yourself, but the context of a church, okay, if the soul of the church is healthy, then everything else is going to be healthy. But I want you to take it another step further. I want you to think about, what is the soul of the church? Well, we could say that the soul of the church is our core, and yes, it is our core, and you could even keep going deeper, and it would be our leadership, and then eventually it would be our staff, absolutely. That is our soul, but I want you to think about your own soul, okay? So your own soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Think of your emotions. You could also think of your personality. Okay, so if you think about the soul of the church, first of all, we as leaders, we have to rule ourselves well if we're going to rule the church well. And the number one thing is we have to protect our soul. In other words, we got to keep our walls up. I'm tying this back into Proverbs 25, 28. We have to keep our walls up. We have to keep our walls guarded so that our soul and the soul of the church remains healthy. So think about this. If your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions, well, then just apply that to the church, okay? The mind, that would be the vision. Your will, that would be the mission. We're leading people to experience the God first life. Isn't that part of the soul of Celebration Church? And isn't that part of the soul of who we are? So our mind, that would be the vision. Our will, that would be the mission. And the action steps and how we carry that out. And then if you think about our personality, or our emotions, okay, that would be the culture. That would be the values of the church. Now, once again, think about Proverbs 25, 28. He who doesn't rule his own spirit, it's like a city with the walls broken down. In other words, you're laying there. You are wide open to attack, to destruction. Think about it from your own soul. To dysfunction, think about it for the church. It's the same thing. If we don't rule our own soul well, and if we don't keep the soul of the church healthy, it's going to be like a city with no walls, no defense. We're going to be subject to attack, subject to dysfunction, subject to unhealthiness. So, man, I want to challenge us today, man, to raise our self-leadership to the next level. And what I want to do is I want to take some things I'm going to give you today. We're going to talk about some of our values and some of the culture of the church, but I want to, this is kind of a living document, and I think I'm going to make this one of the main things in January when we have one of those all-staff days and really get this out there. And I don't know if it's going to be 8. I don't know if it's going to be 10. I don't know if it's going to be 12. I don't know if it's going to be 21. We're going to get all of these things, and we're going to come up with what we feel are those critical values, that soul, that personality of who we are as Celebration Church, that we got to make sure that these walls are up so that we're ruling our own spirit and the house of God well. Can I have a good amen to that, okay? We understand the vision, we understand the mission, but then there's also this component of the soul that has to do with the culture, okay? So I just have 8 things today that I want to give you. I'm going to go through real quickly. When it's talking about self-leadership, you can apply this to yourself and you can apply this to our church here and keeping the church healthy. Okay, first of all, self-leadership. And also remember this. Here's the other thing I was thinking about this. You know, all of us have blind spots, don't we? All of us have weaknesses, don't we? You know, one of the things about how God has wired all of us is a lot of times, you know, the strengths that God's given you can also be your weaknesses. And a lot of times what you are so good, when you're in the anointing, what you are so good at in your strengths, when you're out of the anointing, that can kind of come out in the flesh. Do you know what I'm talking about? And so a lot of these things, as I was looking over a lot of these things, they truly are, they're walls that help us with our blind spots. They're walls that help us with our weaknesses, where we can stay in the anointing, where we limit our weaknesses, where we limit our blind spots, where we're really able to help one another and function, basically, when you think about the church concept, the soul of the church, where we can function as one man. Okay, so let me give you these 8. Are you ready? The first thing is, for yourself, for Celebration Church, this is number one. This is number one, a culture of seeking God. If you don't have that wall up in your own personal life, self-leading yourself, if you cannot get consistent in having a time of personal devotion, in guarding the fire, I say it like this in the Awakening book, it's guarding the fire of devotion in your heart. The Bible talks about with all diligence, guard your heart for what? For out of it flow the issues of life. So number one, if you are going to lead, you show me a person that doesn't seek God, I'm telling you right now, walls are down, city's ready to get waylaid. I don't care how gifted they are. I don't care about the relational skills. I don't care about what, are you following me? We have to somehow, so here's how that works out practically, okay? Listen, you just have to seek God. I'm talking like every day. I don't want hands or anything, but I just want you to think about this. Did you seek God this morning? Even if it was just for a little bit. You don't have to nod at me. Don't worry. Okay, I'm not. Yeah, I did. I really did. You know, you've got it. Do you have a time? Do you have a place? Whatever you have to do to guard that fire of devotion. You know, as I was up today, and this leads into so many things when you talk about the soul of the church. First of all, you're praying, and so you're getting healthy and refreshed in your relationship with God. But you know, also, when you are seeking God and you're guarding that fire of devotion, you're praying for others. You know, and so when we talk about, you know, conflict or the dynamics of a staff or what's going on, it leads into so many other things if you're praying for one another. So if you, you know, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, he's constantly talking about prevailing in prayer, and basically he's telling the churches, you know, I can tell you that Demas, or I can tell you that Titus, or I can tell you that Timothy, they really love you guys because they're praying for you. They constantly are bringing you up in prayer. You know, this morning I prayed for each and every one of you. I prayed for the church. I prayed for the staff. I prayed that God would fill us with the Holy Spirit, that we would go to the next level. And there's something about, first of all, you pray and you're guarding your fire of devotion, and then you pray for others. I'm telling you right now, you put that energy in on the front end, it saves you so much energy on the back end. And it leads into all these other things that I'm going to talk about here. But if we don't have that culture of guarding the fire of devotion, of seeking God, we're just not going to be very effective leaders. It is number one. Okay? So the second thing, and these are in no particular order. I was just, the seeking God isn't in number one order. The rest of these, just wrote these down as I was praying. The second thing is honor. We want a culture of honor. You know, when you talk about the word honor, honor means to ascribe value to. So we're talking about honor. Okay, first it starts with honoring God. But you know, as we've been reading through the Psalms in our daily Bible reading this year, have you noticed how almost every psalm is thanking God for all of his blessings, thanking God for all of his goodness, thanking God for all of the things that he's given us? So when you talk about honor, if we ascribe value to God, then here's what we're going to do. We're going to ascribe value to the opportunities God's given us. We're going to ascribe value to the people God's placed around us. You realize the people in your life right now, God's put them there? Whether you even get along with them or not, guess what? God's put them there. And they're there for a purpose. They're there to add value to you. And so we need to ascribe value to the people God's placed in our life. And now talking about in church context and ministry, man, we need to ascribe value to not only to the people, but to the offices. The offices in our church and the offices of ministry I was reading through were, you know, I was talking about apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers. And the Apostle Paul is constantly talking about people with this gifting and people with that gifting. Listen, we need to ascribe value to all the offices, all the positions in our church, and realize that those offices are ordained by God. And they're a sacred trust. You know, ministry is all about a sacred trust. Can I have a good amen to that? So we're talking about honor. And then we also need to remember not only honoring the people around us, honoring the offices, honoring the opportunities, but we need to honor the people above us. You know how you get influence with the people above you? You honor the people above you. You will never receive what you don't respect. And if you don't respect those above you, in all my life, all through ministry, people, and I'm not just talking about my senior pastor and people in the church that were over me, but I just mean other people in the body of Christ or whatever, whether I agreed with them or didn't disagree with them, man, I always honored them. To this day, I'm very careful what I say about other people. Because I'm telling you this, you just like the Bible says, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and you are going to eat the fruit of your words. Okay, so when you think about honor, think about this. Whatever you, if you want to gain influence, so how I speak about those above me, I promise you this, whoever you lead, how you speak about your leader above you, that's how people under you are going to eventually speak about you. It might not be in this season, But I'm just telling you, these are principles. These are laws. These are immutable spiritual laws. Are you following me on this? And so what I want to do in Celebration Church is, I feel like we have a very good, a very healthy culture of honor. But what we also have to remember is, it's not just, okay, us honoring those above us, those honoring the people around us, those honoring people below us, the opportunities, the privileges and all that kind of stuff. But it's more about developing a culture of honor. It's about being a model for those that are coming after us. And honor is something like a lot of things in the church. It's caught. Not, it is taught, but it's so much more caught than taught. And there's something about somebody, would y'all agree with this? Watch this. There's something about somebody that has honor, that watches their words, that is respectful, that understands authority. Wouldn't you all agree that those people, there's something godly about those people. There is something attractive about those people. I can remember growing up in ministry, you know, and I would see people pipe off on this and pipe off on that and pipe off that person or something they got offended at or whatever. And then there'd be these other people, man, and it's like, man, you couldn't. They were just godly. They were just godly. They were people of honor. So this is something that as we go forward in Bay Meadows and 9A and in the next season of our church, man, we need to make sure that we're setting the right example as we're pulling up the next generation. Amen? Okay, so they're seeking God, there's honor. And the next thing kind of goes with this. These next three kind of run together here with honor. Okay, humility. Humility is another, when you have humility, it really helps you with your blind spots. It really helps you with your weaknesses. You know, love covers a multitude of sins. Isn't it easy to be merciful towards people who show humility? Humility, here's the notes that I wrote. You know, humility is a fruit of trust. There were two great tweets that went out this week that I was reading. One was from Brian Houston. Do most of y'all follow Brian on Twitter, if you have Twitter? So Brian Houston said, there's absolutely no excuse for a Christian who is seasoned in the Word to ever have the right to be offended. He just got that out of Psalms 119, 165. Blessed are those who love your Word and nothing shall offend them. I didn't say you weren't going to have the opportunity. Doesn't say you aren't going to have the opportunity to be offended. I'll give you a few more opportunities to be offended before we get out of this meeting. But there's just no excuse for people who are mature in the Word to harbor offense. And here's what it says. When we harbor offense, what we're basically saying is, what we're showing is our lack of trust in God. That's basically what it comes down to. Priscilla Shire. Priscilla also tweeted something that her dad preached on Sunday morning, which was this. It was basically, when complaining is up, it's just showing everyone that your trust in God is down. And so, you see, here's the deal, okay? Here's the thing, church. We can talk about change. We can talk about people need to live the God first life. We can talk about those things. But what I'm saying right now is, if we're going to really see those things happen, we are going to have to put these things into practice, and we're going to have to lead ourselves. And we're going to have to value these things of self-leadership and say, look, man, look, we've all got to go to another level, including me. I pray to God that I never stop growing. I pray to God that I'm always, man, open to rebuke and teachable. And when the Holy Spirit shows me things that I'm responsive to those things, Lord, keep my heart soft and tender. We all have our good days. We all have our bad days. But at the end of the day, we have to have a passion to grow and be more like Jesus. This is Jesus. Do you see? Jesus didn't get offended. Jesus, there was no guile found in his mouth. Jesus was the one who walked in humility. I mean, at the end of the day, isn't that what it's all about? I think sometimes we forget it is about being like Jesus, right? I mean, last time I checked, it really wasn't about church growth and great programming and being in the top 10 fastest growing churches. And, you know, yes, there's all those things. But last time I checked, the number one issue is being like Jesus. And if we can be like Jesus, all those other things will take care of themselves. So the next thing is thankfulness. Here's my thing that I've been thinking about thankfulness. You know, I've been talking about, obviously, talking about hell the last couple of weekends. And campus pastors, by the way, don't ever do what I did this past weekend and preach an hour, okay? Only I have the right to throw services into the vortex like that. I went way too long, man, but I just felt like I needed to. It's hard to leave things unqualified when you're talking about eternal damnation. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so thankfulness. Here's what. There is no greater expression. I wrote this down. And I was thinking about this when I was talking about, you know, that spirit nature within you, and you're born again and you have the divine nature, and then the mouth is the conduit of that nature. Can a salt water, you know, bring forth fresh? Can a fresh water bring forth salt? You know, can a fig tree bring forth thorns? I never got into this on Sunday. I wish I would have. But that whole spirit nature, when you're talking about the divine nature, there is no greater expression of the born again divine spirit nature than thankfulness to the God who has saved you. You know what I've noticed about thankful? Thankful people are happy people. You know, we talk about being happy. Happy, glad to be here. You know, then that goes into leading from the front row. It goes into engaging people. Thankful people are happy people. I've never met one unthankful person that was a happy person. So really, when you're talking about that thing, hey, we're glad to be here, we're happy, what we're really saying is that we have a culture of thankfulness and gratefulness. And we at our core believe that that is one of the main ways, it is one of the primary expressions that we are saved and born again. And Jesus is our Lord. Thankfulness provides fertile soil for faith. You can't walk in faith if you don't have thankfulness. How many have I given y'all? Four? Okay, the next thing, energy. You seek God, you have honor, you have humility, you have thankfulness. What you're going to have is energy. That's part of our culture. That's glad to be here. That's leading from the front row. That's engaging people. That's having energy for God. We're fresh. That's freshness. That's newness. That's not being stale. Energy. Oh, the next thing, engaging. Just go through these last few quickly. Engaging. We engage people. We engage our mission. Next thing is encouraging. We want a culture of encouragement. Okay, so think about this with courage. You know the word encourage. It means to give courage to. Okay? So our soul, a core component of the soul of our church, we want to be a soul, we want to be a church that's full of courage. And if you're going to be a church that has courage, and if we're going to be people that have courage, we have to be encouragers, givers of courage. Okay, so watch. So how do you need courage? How many of y'all need courage? You need encouragement, right? You know how you get encouragement? You give encouragement. So what I see is, you know, I feel like I was talking to Kier about this morning. I feel like that some of these things, I'm a good encourager sometimes, but I feel like one of my greatest weaknesses is what the drive part of me that's a blessing can sometimes also be one of my greatest weaknesses. And so what I mean by that, like, it doesn't matter. I don't tell y'all this. It doesn't matter how great the service is. I always think it can be better. And that's usually where my mind goes. It doesn't matter how. I could get 1,000 comments. That was Stowe, Pastor Stowe. That was the best message I've ever heard in my life. My whole life has changed. It could have been the greatest message. I always think I could have done so much better. When I walk off the stage, every time I'm thinking all the things that I wish I could have done better. With the things of the church and the different ministries and where we are, I'm always thinking. And sometimes what will happen is that will do two things. That will cause me, because I'm always, no matter where we are, I always think we could be here. I'm always driven to this or, you know, driven to perfection. What could happen, what a fruit of that many times can be, instead of me being encouraged, I can allow discouragement to come. And then instead of me giving courage to you and giving courage to others, see, I'm not able to do that. All of a sudden I'm focusing on all the things that went wrong. And so I'm not giving that encouraging energy. I'm giving frustration or discouragement or whatever it was. And so do you see what I'm saying? So what the enemy will do, he'll use that. I don't know if some of you are like that or perfectionist or driven or, you know, everyone has their own deals. But at the end of the day, here's what the enemy's trying to do with us. He's trying to replace encouragement with discouragement. Because if he can get you discouraged, another, take the courage out, he knows you can't give any courage to anybody else. So what I want to do is our staff, I want us to get in this very proactive thing that we are going to give each other courage. It doesn't mean that there's no correction. It doesn't mean that we sacrifice truth. But I just mean the atmosphere is that we are encouragers and we are giving each other courage. Amen? And that's going to lead in. And I don't know a word for this, so I'm just going to say this. A wartime mindset. Didn't you have a New Living Translation? This was my kid's go-to-sleep scripture last night. Is it 1 Peter 4:7? I read it in the New Living. So, yeah. Give me the new. Who has a New Living? 1 Peter 4:7 in the New Living. This is what I read to Stovey and Annabelle before they went to sleep last night. They always have a nighttime scripture right before they go to bed. So I read them this one. The end of the world is coming soon. 1 Peter 4:7. Boy, that raised some questions. But listen to this. I'm telling you, you know, these talking about hell the last couple of weekends. Man, I got so much good feedback on from people that just didn't understand it or whatever. And one of the things about understanding eternity, understanding eternal judgment, we don't dwell on that. But what happens is when you don't have that as part of your mindset, what happens is it takes away from what I would call what the Bible talks about being sober and being vigilant. It takes a little bit of the seriousness. It takes if you don't have that in context, you can forget that you're in a war. you can forget that we are in a struggle with the highest stakes on the line. I mean, that's what we are in a struggle. We are freeing humans. Every weekend is a war. Every day is a war. The end of the world is coming soon. There's a divine judgment coming soon. People are going to step into eternity. We talked about if they're not born again, those laws go into effect as soon as you stepped into the afterlife. So look what it says. 1 Peter 4:7 says, the end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. All these things that we talked about, that you can't have love unless you have these other things. He goes on to say, then he goes, and God has given each of you a variety of spiritual gifts. And it just goes on talking about, making the most of what you have. But I think a lot of times we need to have that in our mind. Listen, we're in a war. We're here to free the humans. The end of the world is coming soon. There's eternity. There's a divine judgment. We're not, we don't do what we do just so we can enjoy a good life. We don't do what we do just because the ministry, it is exciting. It isn't feeling. We don't have weekend services just so people can come in and just have a good time in the presence of God. You see what I'm saying? Man, we're in a fight. We're in a war. It's like the end of the world is coming. You know what I'm saying? There is a very real devil. I mean, this place, you think about it, it really is like the Matrix. None of this stuff is real. None of this stuff is going to last. The Bible says that everything in the world, the lust of flesh, the lust of eyes, the pride of life, and everything in the world, it's like a vapor. It's all fading away, just like the grass. But he who does the will of God abides forever. And so somehow in our culture, I feel like one of the crucial walls that needs to be there is this thing of we are in a war, we are in a fight, the end of the world is coming soon. We've got to keep eternity in mind. Because that's what's going to keep us outward. That's going to keep us not making big deals out of things that don't need to be big deals. And so my prayer, I want to pray for us. But when we're talking about ruling our own spirit and the soul of the church having the proper walls and applying self-leadership, these are the walls: seeking God, honor, humility, thankfulness, energy, engaging, encouraging, and a wartime mindset. So those are eight. We'll probably add a few more when we get to January. But listen, I want to put these into practice. I want us to lead diligently. I want us to rule our own spirits well. And I want us to have the proper guards up around our souls and the soul of the church. Amen.